5, 4, 3, 2.
Buddy cop.
It definitely is. Yeah. It definitely
as good
is.
As Turner and Hooch.
You know, it's funny that I said Tango yes. and Cash yesterday, and we were going to the concert. Matt was probably talking to you about that, mm-hmm. and I just met at his place in Andrew State over there yesterday, and we were talking to him about Tango and Cash, and he's like, "Yeah, I know Tango and Cash, and I don't know why I almost said." Do you mean Tom Hanks and the dog? And
it's like, you mean Tom it's Hanks
like,
and the dog?
It's like, yeah. He's like, then I was like, that's Turner.
Turner and Hooch.
Yeah, that's Turner.
So you
which
are
I haven't seen. I don't think I've seen that all the way through. I saw
really?
Like bits and pieces on TV when I was a kid.
They Disney owns it now, so it's on Disney
yeah,
Plus.
It's on Disney
and
Plus.
Then they like remade it with that kid from Josh and Drake or Drake
Josh
and
Peck.
Josh.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I think they made
the
it
grown up
like a
skinny
show.
Version now.
Yeah. Good for him. I'm feeling skinny, Tony.
Yeah.
From
Heavyweights. He wasn't in
Heavyweights.
No,
he wasn't
yeah.
in Heavyweights.
Yeah. No. Yeah. He's too young to have been
yeah.
in Heavyweights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just a quick at the top of the show. Thank you all for joining us again for
yes.
the Radcast. As you can see by the title, it's a Radcast Ramble.
Mm-hmm.
You listeners will know the title before I do because I come up with that stuff in post.
Later.
Right before it's published.
Yeah.
And if you know us, you know the Ramble is we just go off the cuff about a myriad of things, whether mm-hmm. it's myself and Matt or us and a guest. And today's guest is very familiar with the show, very mm-hmm. familiar with this concept, but we're also going to be introducing something new. We've been kind of
new
teasing.
New little format.
Yeah, we've been kind of teasing in the last few episodes that we want to try something new. And we usually test run things we want to try with like rambles because
yeah.
we feel like with mm-hmm. the nature of it, we want to do it.
Yeah.
And the guests that are a little more
yes.
professional and skilled.
Yeah, yes, exactly. There definitely are a few people.
The gift of gab,
if
you will.
With what we want to try here, there's definitely this week's guest, next week's guest, mm-hmm. and then a few people on our list of who
yeah.
we think would do great at this, we'd love to do it with. And
yeah.
it's really fun. It's something that we're calling the Six Mix.
Mm-hmm.
And because we like rhymes, alliterations, all those things.
Yeah.
Booger sugar.
Yeah, booger sugar.
Yeah.
Septwinber. We're going to be talking about Mary-Kate and Ashley movies in the month
yeah.
of September.
Really? You are
yeah.
going
yeah.
with
uh-huh.
that?
Yeah. We're calling it Septwinber.
I yeah. love it.
and we are test running what the concept pretty much we got from Brett Goldstein, actor, comedian, writer.
Played Roy Kent
in
Ted Lasso.
Most famous,
yeah.
He's most famous right now for playing Roy Kent in the wonderful show Ted Lasso. He has a podcast called Films to Be Buried With. Drew sits down with a guest. They shoot the breeze for a little bit. And then he informs them, unfortunately, they have died.
Yeah.
They
get to talk about how they died.
Yeah.
And then eventually they're like, what's your idea of heaven? What's your favorite thing? Okay, heaven is your favorite thing. And they go through. He's got a rubric. A sort of a format like we're going to explore
mm-hmm.
of questions like what's the first movie you remember seeing? Like
yeah.
what's the movie that makes you emotional? What's the movie that you like that isn't
yeah.
necessarily critically acclaimed
yeah.
or other people like kind
yeah.
of thing?
It's very movie-centric
yeah.
as opposed to what we're doing here with the Six Mix. Sure, we have two questions about movies, but the other four are a mix of a variety
mm-hmm.
of things, which you will hear as we go on.
Pop culture, though.
Pop culture related. And one of my favorite ways to describe Brett Goldstein's podcast is he just re-released his episode with Pete Holmes, who
yeah.
we love.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh.
Pete Holmes.
He's great.
He's awesome. Mm-hmm. Pete Holmes says, everybody wants to do your podcast, Brett, because this is the game people play with themselves when they're taking a shit.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's
Which
true,
it's
though.
True.
Funny.
Yeah.
You pretend you're being interviewed, ask these questions.
Yeah.
And we are going to ask these questions of guests. If guests really would like to know our answers, we can give them. We feel like for you regular listeners, you may hear our. We don't want you to hear our answers over and over again.
Yeah.
On some of these questions, the answers may change. But since this is the first time we're doing it, we can share answers if our guests would like, but mainly we're here to talk to our guests about her experience.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
I'm
the main thing.
Pretty in love with my own voice, so
yeah,
I don't know.
Hey, I get it.
Yeah, that is, you have the opposite of what most people have, and they can't stand to hear their own voice.
You know, it's funny. On here, I do like the sound of my own voice, but I used to hate it.
Yeah,
sure.
And I would hear it. I was just like everybody else, but for some reason, when I do this podcast, I don't know if it's just from doing the podcast or maybe equipment, recording equipment has become better or whatever, but like it doesn't bother me.
We make anyone's voice sound better.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I think, and I'm being a little facetious. Like,
sure. But usually when people would say they don't like the sound of their own voice, it's coming from like a telephone receiver. Mm-hmm. So it's just naturally that pitches your voice up higher.
Yeah.
But speaking of, you know, liking the sounds of voices and being familiar with their voices and everything like that, this is a horrible segue into
why this episode
is also special.
It's okay.
Yeah.
We've done enough good ones that you're allowed a bad one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, I make up for a multitude of sins, so.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
My personality.
I
ain't pretty, but I got personality.
But this is a special occasion. Not only are we test running this six mix kind of thing segment we're going to be trying out on here, it's special because the person we're testing it out with was first on the list of who we wanted to do this with. And sorry, Santa Claus.
Sorry,
sorry, Easter Bunny.
Maybe pick up your phone next time.
Sorry, Richard Marx. You wouldn't pick up our calls.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Richard Marx. Yeah.
He's the best. Yeah. He really is. But really, if Richard Marx ever hears this.
He's a honk.
He's a honk.
We'll delete this episode and any episode after this before yours and say yours was the first.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
You'd be okay with that, right?
I mean, for Richard Marx... No.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Well,
you got self-respect. I like
I
it.
Do.
like the man says, should have known better.
Yeah, exactly.
But
it don't mean nothing.
Exactly.
Don't no victim, no crime.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I won't give up until I'm satisfied.
Yeah. All
of
the silliness.
But don't think about the one with the sad by the river and that was so sad.
I'm not gonna. Yeah. I'm not gonna bring this mood
let's
down.
Let's stay happy. Yeah. We're also celebrating the.
The
10th podcast appearance of our sister, Samantha Kennedy.
Hello, welcome back.
I keep wanting to grab the trophy to show the camera that doesn't exist.
There it is.
Look.
I got it.
I feel like I'm at home.
Yeah.
Putting
I told you, Mom. Because
the trophy is a
what
microphone.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think I'm getting early onset dementia. I can't make jokes anymore because I can't remember my references. Hey, look, Ma, I made it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I couldn't.
You like me. You really like me.
Yeah. You guys know Jimmy Cagney.
Yeah, exactly.
What? Wow. There was just like a lot of things in there that I couldn't tell if you just didn't know where those references come from that was part of the joke.
It's all in the gumbo.
Here's the thing.
It's all in the mix.
It's like you can't even say like some of our audience may be too young for that. Like there are several generations
of
people
like
who
50
are probably
years
too young for that.
Caught up into those references there. Like everything from Panic at the Disco to James Cagney.
Yeah.
That's quite the little Sally Field thrown in there. Because I knew... You know, last time we didn't take a picture for my fifth or what on Radcast.
You became a five-timer last time.
I didn't feel prepared to take a picture. Sure, yeah. So today I was like preparing my face.
Yeah.
And I was like, why am I even practicing like visual jokes?
Right.
Like I'm in the car driving here and I'm like, you know, going through. Because like... Yes, we're off the cuff, but all three of us prepare.
Oh,
and
yeah,
even
have to.
Sometimes maybe practice, especially if this time, because I knew some of the things we were going to be talking about. And I'm like, wait a minute, why am I practicing visual gags?
Yeah.
There's no camera.
So I was going to do one of these things. Like,
I was
going to
be like, you know, doing all kinds of stuff.
Oh, wow. Glug, 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 glug.
He just so you know, he grabbed my trophy.
pretended
and,
it was
and
a beer.
And pretended it was a beer.
Yeah. But it's silly because it's a microphone.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Not a beer.
It's not a beer.
Not a beer.
Visual gags work really well when you explain them this
when
way.
When you can see
podcast.
Them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's funny.
So like
oh,
a radio,
my God.
It's like a radio show.
Wait,
oh.
Has that always been in here?
It, well, it's for the last couple months. I got it
okay,
from Mom and Dad's.
So it's been yeah. a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Cause
not
wasn't
since
in
you
here.
Were here last.
Oh, my yeah. gosh. See, more things yeah. that the audience can't tell.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what the hell are
it's
they talking
about? It's a mannequin
about?
With my clothes on.
No, yeah. no it's a rocker. Yeah. A child's, a toddler-sized mm-hmm. rocker that our grandfather,
mm-hmm. yeah.
mm-hmm. he made one, painted it blue mm-hmm. for Steven, mm-hmm. and one painted it red for Matt. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I just looked over and I mm-hmm. saw it. So.
And yeah. mine is at my house, also sitting
it.
In a corner.
Well, there yep. you go.
But yes, Samantha joins Jeremy Weed and Jake Vielewald as a 10-time podcast mm-hmm. guest. You're also in the halls of the Five Timers Club. Mm-hmm. And we've
you don't get to 10 without 5.
This is true. For all of you in college algebra who need some help with arithmetic,
yeah, just remember,
you can't get to 10
when
without
take,
5.
When you're taking an especially hard quiz, always remember, you can't get to 10 without 5.
Actually, 5 twice.
Yes, yes. But in all seriousness, we always thank you for your contribution
yeah.
to the show
sure.
whenever you're here. We hope that this is creatively enlightening for you. I say it as if you haven't told us, you have never told us that it hasn't been.
Yes.
So no news is good news.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's yeah. get into, you know, what we're trying to achieve here
yeah.
with this six mix. So we have, again, it's 6 questions of various pop culture mm-hmm. things, and we sent Samantha the questions ahead of time
mm-hmm.
because this is something that, although genuine reactions in the moment are fun,
yeah.
we also, like Samantha said, we like being prepared, especially with something like
yeah.
this. We want to give them time to think about their answer.
Oh, sure. You mm-hmm. say something in the moment, and it's the classic. You listen. You driving home, you're like, I should have said this, or no, this yeah. is better, like mm-hmm. kind
of
thing.
Well, and I may not. So a couple of those, I needed a little bit of time
oh, sure.
to think
yeah.
through.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because
yeah.
some of them are like hard to really pinpoint something.
Oh yeah, and if it, and I know speaking for myself, there is no like, oh yeah, this, like I have to
yeah.
be like, well this, but this here does this,
yeah.
and it's like I feel like this represents it, but mm-hmm. so
well, and
yeah.
I recently crossed the threshold into the halfway point of an average human lifespan.
Oh yes.
So I things are like shifting and changing, and I'm like, oh, I don't know.
I don't like reflecting on this.
Well,
stuff.
No, I don't mind reflecting. Yeah. I just may not. It just takes a little longer for
oh,
me
sure.
to
yeah.
drag some things out.
Yeah,
yeah. So the first question, and play at home if you all would like.
Yes.
The
taking
first
a shit, maybe.
Yeah, yes, yeah. maybe mm-hmm. while you're in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Pretending you're as captivating as we are.
Yeah.
And that someday someone may ask you these questions.
Yeah.
Yes,
all I have
someday.
To say is, nice try.
Nice try. Way to go.
Yeah. So first movie you remember seeing in the theater?
Land Before Time.
Ah.
And I have not been able to watch it since? Because
really?
Because I was so overwhelmingly sad.
Sure.
That, like, that's, even though I know watching it now, I would not feel as sad because I
yeah.
have a whole different, like, perspective on things.
Mm-hmm.
It was so sad for me.
Right. Yeah. How old were you?
I don't know what year did it come out.
Whenever it came out, 87, 88. 88
so,
maybe?
So
like
I
five
think
or six
probably
years
about
old.
5 or 6.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So 5 or 6 year old me was just absolutely
oh, sure.
traumatized.
Yeah.
Of course.
And so I've never watched it since, though I do I do feel I have the right to take umbrage that they made so many lame-ass sequels.
right. It's like, what the hell, man?
Like, now, wait a second. There was a lot of finality in that movie.
Sure. So I can confidently say I haven't seen that movie probably since I was 5 or 6
mm-hmm.
years
I don't,
old.
The only thing I recall from that movie is anything like I've seen clips of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall ever seeing that movie.
Really?
And I would think the reason being is, A, we never owned it, and
yeah.
B, because there probably was such an adverse reaction that
yeah.
mom was like, well,
we're not doing this again.
I'm not
so
gonna buy
sad.
This
yeah exactly
so damn sad yeah I wouldn't have if mom even had thought about watching, buying it. I'm like, just oh, yeah. Don't bother.
It's like, I know what I effect can't. It had on me. Don't show it to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't even like broach it again.
Yeah. Right.
So sad.
Was it something that affected you like a couple hours after? Or
no,
did
no,
you
no.
Did
like,
it sit with you
happening.
For days? No, but like I know like in the moment, but it's, yeah. Is it something? Because sometimes something can affect you so much and you carry
yeah.
it with you for.
I mean, I wouldn't remember.
Sure.
I just remember how sad.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I was in the theaters and crying and just like being so sad because his parents died and I knew the dinosaurs were extinct. So
right. So it's like, he's not much longer for
this
world.
I was like, this is not okay.
Yeah. Well, hey, Mr. Meteor, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're coming in hot.
Exactly.
That thing's getting closer. That thing's getting closer. I can smell it.
Those are two characters that were in the movie.
They were.
Yeah.
So I not much to say about that one. That's yeah. the first one, and it was so.
Never haven't seen a movie in the theater
so
since.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. But.
Yeah, I have. It's one of those things that like, if I think I'm sure I saw a movie in the theaters like before 1999. In mm-hmm. fact, I know I did,
oh,
but
yeah.
I can't. Remember, I was told we saw Lion King and Toy Story and stuff.
I have one kind of blip of a memory.
Yeah.
Lion King came out in 1994.
Right.
The summer 1994. Summer 1994, yeah. We turned 3.
Yeah,
so I don't think we had that awareness to where there were really memories that
yeah.
stuck, no longevity to them. But I yeah. have one bright flash of a memory sitting in a theater seat with those little white cups.
Mm.
That we
okay.
used to have
yeah, yeah.
filled with Reese's Pieces.
Oh,
yeah. Oh my God. Yeah,
that sounds
I think
like
that's
a thing
it.
That's
that
kind
I
of
recall.
Unlocking. You sure that mm-hmm. flash wasn't a theater usher like, you got a ticket for this show, little boy?
Did you sneak those in?
Did you sneak those? Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I do have more of a memory of seeing Toy Story.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So. And sorry for segueing into my, like, an answer
no.
I have.
It's
because we just said, like, we won't always have, unless the guest
no.
would like to know. Then we don't have to answer.
Yeah, we did have one distinct request that our guest next week would like to know our answers,
yeah.
but we don't want to impose
yeah.
on
yeah.
on your.
It was literally just like
I do have a memory of the. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the first movie that
mm-hmm.
I remember being in the theater with you guys.
Yeah,
but I have a very distinct memory of the first prequel of Star
yeah,
Wars.
Phantom
yes,
Menace.
And like it was really loud, and
mm-hmm.
one of
Me.
You,
yeah.
yeah, I thought it was
yeah.
probably Matt. You know, your ears were so sensitive,
yeah.
and so it was just like this really stressful experience.
Yeah,
I think for Mom and
mm-hmm.
for you, but it was
oh,
also
sure.
really stressful for me because I was very upset that you were upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
and was and you know like.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think anybody, aside from the fact that that movie is garbage and nobody was going to enjoy it anyway,
we
definitely didn't enjoy that movie.
Yeah, for some reason, Matt and I referenced that more than any other Star Wars
yeah.
movie.
I think kind of as a joke, I just
yeah.
learned as many quotes as I could. And now I'm like, do I like that movie
yeah,
now?
I definitely have a memory seeing that. And for some reason, I have a memory that there was this giant volume bar that came up on the screen at the theater, and
yeah.
it was brought down. But
kind of ruins the illusion of the theater.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe I was just seeing things.
And I remember that was impactful because – so I do remember Mom being a little frustrated
yeah.
And, like, talking to the usher to turn the movie down or whatever.
Yeah.
I remember that was impactful because the next movie we saw in theater was Tarzan.
Mm-hmm.
So the animated Tarzan
mm-hmm.
movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like almost having like PTSD of
yeah.
of like how loud
mm-hmm.
that movie was. And I was scared to go see another
yeah,
movie
yeah, of
in
course,
the theaters.
Because mm-hmm. it's too
so.
Too much.
mm-hmm.
Was
yeah.
it you guys or Tyler that was obsessed with Tarzan? It was
Tyler,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, but not upset, but like that was kind of like a movie that he watched over and over
yeah,
and
it
over
was probably,
for a while.
It was probably Tyler.
There's probably some cross path in there, and we
yeah.
shared a room for a while, so
yeah.
we probably
that's true.
We had
but
the soundtrack and
yeah.
the computer game.
There,
yeah.
there were certain points
oh
where
God,
I think all of us
yeah.
like listen to the soundtrack all the time.
Yes.
Yeah,
and play
I
the computer
remember
game.
That now the game because I remember. That's trying to I may have played it. I don't know if it
yeah.
was when I tried to play it or just watching you guys play it, but like the swinging
yeah,
and how
like
long
surf
and
on
arches
and stuff.
Are
yeah.
were is that, no, I remember that
yeah.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I've completely forgotten
like the
that.
The opening menu music is like a computerized version of Two Worlds by Phil Collins.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a good game. It's a memorable game. Yeah. I don't know if people say it's objectively good. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, that's and Phil, like, and then the thing that I always think about is, oh, Phil Collins did all those songs. And Mom told me once that, like, Phil, I don't even know if this is true.
Probably not. Yeah, probably not.
But she told me that Phil Collins, like, told his wife over a phone message that he wanted to divorce her and that he's like garbage because of that.
Could be true, actually.
I don't know that that's really true because I've since discovered that sometimes Mom says nonsense.
Sure.
That she, you know, read in People magazine or I don't know what, or heard through the grant. I mean, we didn't have the internet then, so I don't know where she would get nonsense from.
This is,
But like, so even to this day, I feel sour towards Phil Collins.
Sure. Yeah,
I don't even know if it's true.
I mean, there may be a little truth to it. And maybe mom heard it like a game of telephone.
Yeah. Just have held on to the information and it's sort of morphed into. But either way, I hate Phil Collins.
Oh, well, all right. Okay.
I was going to say, this is the same woman that when I was scared of tornadoes as a kid, she's like, we live in the suburbs. There's not enough room for the tornado to spread out. And I was like, right. And then later I'm like, what?
That's not true.
You think a tornado is just gonna be like, oh jeez,
oh I can't,
there's no,
I can't work,
there's
with
no
this.
Walking room here.
Yeah, exactly.
You think I need some elbow room. Like Daniel Boone.
Exactly. It's like, you think a tornado isn't just gonna rip through anything that's in its path?
As a parent, I don't condone lying to your kids. And it's, as far as I'm aware, we haven't lied to our kids about anything. Like, we don't even do Santa Claus.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Tooth Fairy or any of that. But I can definitely understand why she might have told a huge lie like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, dear God,
yeah,
it gets exhausting. Especially if you don't know how to help your child calm down.
Sure.
Like, if you don't have those tools. And by that time, it was like 5 kids for her.
Yeah.
And God knows it could have been, I don't know if Tyler was around, that would have been 6.
I remember it was a time at the house they're at now. So Tyler was.
Well, so Tyler was. So, so 6 kids, man. Yeah. Plus she worked a full-time job.
Sure.
And,
oh, yeah. And it's one of those things to where it's like I can laugh about it.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it gave me peace then. And then as I got older, I never was like, you lied to me. I was like, that's silly.
Man, Mom's dumb.
You heard it here.
I'll take that over. If it was me, I'd take that over. Mom lied to me. I'd rather you just believe I'm stupid.
No, it was just one of those things I had to put into context and be like, well, just tell your kids things.
I mean, for all we know, Mom actually believes it. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Made sense to me.
Yeah. So, second question.
Mom, you're not dumb.
No.
Sorry.
No. We don't really feel that way.
We would say all this if she was here. In fact, I wish she was here so you would hear her laughing along with us. Shut up. Mom and I have the same laugh, and it is terrifying. That is not how she laughs.
That's the tail end of some of them.
Yes.
A little bit. We even have recording from my last podcast appearance of Mom and I laughing laughingly.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway.
But the next question, we're not talking laughing. We're talking about emotion, a different kind of emotion.
Yeah.
Just any emotion.
The question posed is what movie or movies, if you don't want to try and just narrow down one, that what are some movies that make you cry, and if not cry, get emotional, because not everybody just outright cries at movies, but there are movies that make you
feel triumphant,
make you feel emotional, so whatever that I guess I should have specified, you can kind of choose your emotion, like that really just arouses emotions in you. I think I just went with cry because when I think get emotional, I think of like getting choked up. Cry. So what are some movies or movie that make you emotional?
So because I am a super emotional person, there's sort of been like these phases of like everything makes me emotional and then maybe times where I wasn't watching movies, so basically that.
That's the thing, like, is I'll cry at a commercial.
I'll cry at all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's been a really long time since I've been able to sit and watch a whole movie mm-hmm. uninterrupted, and you kind of like have to get that momentum.
Yeah.
Like a movie that they keeps getting interrupted and kind of doesn't.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, but the last one, it's mostly Disney Pixar things that get me choked up. So like, the one that's gotten me the most emotional in recent years was Frozen 2.
Okay. Never seen it.
Well, so like, because all the songs, just like, I was just going through some stuff. I'm always going through some stuff.
Sure.
But at the time, it was like, all the songs seemed to be written for what I was going through or whatever. So, like, as, you know, especially as Anna's, like, dealing with, spoiler alert. Anna's, you know, thinking that Elsa's dead and all the men, you know, and she's just like, do the next right thing, and I just have to stand up and do the next right thing to keep moving forward. And I'm just like, so I like cried through that.
Yeah.
Around the same time was Toy Story 4.
Mm, okay.
Have you seen that?
No. After 3.
No, 4 was so good.
I haven't seen 4. I think I think for a little bit.
Very different.
I think for a little bit, and this is so dumb, but for a little bit I was like, I'm not going to watch 4 because it should have ended at 3 because the story is over or whatever.
Yeah, but they did some cool things.
Oh, sure. That's what I've heard. Yeah.
And
I don't feel that way anymore.
Went on to. Yeah. I feel like if they did a 5th one, I'd feel a little like, come on, guys.
Like,
come on.
Yeah.
Plus, I felt that way about 4, but they took it a different, very different direction. It was really good. So I cried at that and stuff. And then Ellie, my sister-in-law, Brian's sister, Ellie, texted and wanted to go see Barbie.
Mm.
And so mom and I are going to go to see Barbie with her tomorrow.
Nice.
And I have heard that that's a tearjerker.
Yeah,
I am wowed at some of the things I'm hearing.
It is very good.
Like, yeah, it's not a kiss. Because Ellie had said, you know, does Ophelia want to go? And I was like, I think it's rated PG-13. Let me check.
Yeah.
Because I had been hearing things like that. It's more of like a... It look, you know, yes, it's Barbie, but it's more of like existential crises type thing.
Yeah.
And so I looked it up and everything was like, well, maybe if they're 11 or older and they're kind of mature, you know, but basically Ophelia would be bored to tears.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, no, we're not going to do that. But it's rated PG-13 and it's been, I mean, like the previews has Barbie going, you know, have you ever thought about death or whatever? And she goes into the real world. And so I'm just like, so yeah, I was planned on waiting till streaming, even though I'd been hearing really good things because I just don't go because Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and the Mule, $11 for a movie ticket.
We were just talking about that yesterday with friends.
So old.
Yeah,
because it's like what we used to $5 or $6, and then I was like bent out of shape when it went up to 8, and then when Ellie reserved our tickets, it was like $11. I was like, damn.
Jeez.
Like, that's why we never take the kids to the movies.
Yeah.
Like, that's a straight up, that's like a $50 outing or more.
Yeah.
That's
but
ridiculous.
But we're not getting popcorn and soda.
Yeah, well, no.
My mom, you're going to get popcorn. Well, she's going to get popcorn.
I'll get it because it's just me or just me and mom. But with the kids and stuff, it's like,
$100.
Like, do you know what I could have done with $100?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we are not doing this.
I can sit in the dark and have the television on for free at home.
Exactly. I have all the streaming services. Yeah.
I did see a picture where Ryan Gosling is Ken, and he's wearing a hoodie that says, I am Ken-uff.
I have no personal social media accounts anymore.
Sure.
So,
which
like, I don't.
Probably better for it. Yeah.
Not
and probably. You are.
I am.
Yeah.
And that's not like a hoity-toity thing.
No.
It's just like I needed to not do that.
Yeah. Of course.
And so I didn't make an announcement. Be like, I'm going on social media. Everybody look at
me. Just
did it.
Yeah,
I just
stopped going on.
Yeah.
And then I started working on a project that I don't want to talk about on here because I want to be anonymous.
Yeah.
And so I shut down all of my personal social media so that just to sort of mitigate the possibility that anyone could connect the two things.
Yeah.
So I could try and stay as anonymous as possible.
Uh-huh.
Also, so if I ever fail or drop this thing off the face of the earth.
That wasn't me.
person. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Nobody's asking me about it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's... tentacle porn.
I can give you the subject matter,
that's of course ridiculous. I'm not I swear to God, that's not the thing.
Track with me here. Tentacle porn.
I wanted to say the most insane thing I could think of, and that's seriously
so against type.
The most insane thing I could possibly think of, which probably tells you a little bit about how vanilla I am when it comes to things like that. Sure. It's like, that's the worst thing. I'm sure there's worse things. Anyway.
Yeah. Ankles.
What the hell were we talking about? I got movies. Barbie.
Yes.
Barbenheimer.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I've heard about the phenomenon of
it's sort of like, I think the sugary-coated holding hands, shiny, happy people version of it is that, you know, the studios wanted to pit the movies against each other, but, you know, actors and everybody are, like, being supportive and being like, hey, double feature it. And so now it's, like, this internet phenomenon of, like, Barbenheimer and, like, graphic artists making movie posters that are mashups and all that stuff or whatever.
Right.
I was actually had been reading about it and like Margot Robbie and what's his face?
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. I really like, I know who he is. That was not like social commentary.
He's on the new Mickey Mouse Club.
Like, and Young Hercules.
Young Hercules.
I've been watching just some of their, a couple of interviews or whatever. Yeah. And he's of course hilarious. And you know, she's super smart and wonderful and all this stuff.
Yep.
So, you know, hearing a little bit about those memes, and Brian's a real meme guy and has like Imgur and stuff. And so between him and then Tony, Tony's rollers and a real, should I say his last name? He won't care.
Yeah.
He's a real meme
guy. Friend of yours.
Friend of the family.
Long time.
I mean, I've known him longer than I've known you.
That's true.
Yeah, definitely.
We met in kindergarten. So he's a real big meme Imgur type guy as well. Yeah. So that's where those things will spark my imagination. And anyway, I forget what the, anyway, Barbie. We're going to see Barbie.
You mentioned
because Barbenheimer.
You heard that it's emotional. And
I've been hearing about it being emotional. Yeah. And I had already been curious about it. But then, you know, I have, you know, some friends and stuff that we're like, no, this is it's really good.
So. Plus, I know sometimes it's tough in the moment when you're trying to, because at least for our brains, sometimes it's tough enough to, like, I mean, I think it's easier for me with a movie to be able to continue to track what's going on. Yeah. But sometimes you're so in the moment watching a movie that it's not always when something that is, you know, it pitted as emotional. If it's the first time I'm watching it, I'm not, I may or may not get choked up watching the parts that you say are emotional, or may or may not get emotional. It's usually movies I've seen a bunch because I know what's coming and I know the parts, I know the lines, I know the triggers, like I know the things that, you know, I have ways that I've, like, you know, explain the movie in my brain as to, like, how it's that scene's significant. I've read how
that
you
scene's give it significance.
It's why one of the reasons the Rocky movies are so are so special to me. I almost feel like at face value people be like, oh, is that because, you know, and I hate when people say this, and I'm not this way, but people, you know, would just assume, was that because you're a guy? Like, you're big on the Rocky movies? Like, no, because I grew up with them, and I look at them through a different lens. They make me emotional because
all of them, like the quote-unquote good films.
I see the character development. I see the heart. I see all these different layers that Sylvester Stallone was going for with these movies, even with the big rah-rah America 80s overblown
Rocky IV.
Yeah. Like, I still see there's merit to that for me.
Yeah.
So I know for me personally, the movies that make me emotional are things that I grew up watching that maybe in the moment, like A League of Their Own.
Yeah.
Sure, that ending at the Baseball Hall of Fame, or when Marla is leaving to go and she's like scared to leave
because
her dad's all she's ever known.
Yeah.
And her dad, and like, sorry. And just with how Marla is just looked down upon because she isn't, quote unquote, pretty as the other girls. Yeah. Like, those scenes didn't hit me at 12 when I watched it all the time. It hits me now, these emotional significance of that stuff, because like,
you're an adult.
This. Yeah.
You know, and that wouldn't have been something that you were worried about as a 12-year-old boy. As a 12-year-old girl, I may have been worried about it.
Yeah.
But like, I think experience informs. I know that there has to have been a movie that maybe I didn't feel anything for one time, but then in a different phase of life felt something for. I can tell you, I know one movie especially that when it first came out I was super into it, And then only a couple years later, watching it again, I was like, this movie is so, like, there's so many problems with mm-hmm. this. And why did I think that that yeah. was, like, cool or fun? It's Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless
oh,
Mind.
Oh,
just
yeah.
so you, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say Never Been Kissed.
Because yeah, that oh, one I mean, there's a lot of problems.
Super problematic.
That one has zero problems.
That was problematic when you were watching it.
Yeah, like at the time it came out.
At the time
yeah.
it came out, it was problematic.
yeah.
I didn't say I didn't like it.
No, of course not.
It's just problematic.
It's really like, problematic.
This is really
I love Never Been Kissed. Yeah. It's not. It doesn't mean it's not problematic.
Yeah, yeah. exactly.
Get problematic.
But yeah, like, you know.
awful.
Strong
oh,
bad. What was I watching that the voice? There was a newer cartoon that I was watching, and there was a voice in it that I was like, I know that voice. And I like looked it up, and it turned out one of the animators that was working on it was one of the brothers that created
Homestar
Runner.
Yeah. Really?
They work for like Disney or Nickelodeon. Oh, I didn't know they worked for Disney.
Okay,
so they've
good.
Worked for Disney for a yeah. while now.
Oh,
and
cool.
So,
the Brothers Chaps.
The Brothers Chaps. That's it. Brothers mm-hmm. Chapman. Yes, and it. I don't. It was probably not Bluey. One of the more the
yeah.
older kid
yeah.
ones. I can't remember.
Yeah.
It right now. Like it's gonna bug the shit on me.
But it was a nice kind of like what I know that
voice. This animated show that we really really like, and it was like
right
Gravity Falls.
Okay.
There was a voice somebody did on there was some character. I was like, I know that. It's, and then I realized Teen Girl Squad. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Like the ugly one.
Yeah.
That's what
Harold.
It is.
Harold.
Yeah.
It was like I knew it. Yeah.
Wherever baby.
Wherever baby.
They've been working for Disney for a while.
Good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But Star Runner was genius.
So great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So great.
But sometimes with movies, you know, they don't outright. You know, like I, as a kid, mm-hmm. I wasn't crying at Rocky II. I am now.
Well, yeah.
But
and again,
because you know
kid.
His journey.
Yeah.
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 Little,
you can internalize that and be like, oh, that's why it's important.
Hook, same thing.
Same thing in
Planes,
Hook.
Trains,
yep.
Little Giants.
Yep.
Little Giants. Yeah. One that I wasn't expecting to get emotional at is Jingle All the Way.
yeah.
It's just
well,
something.
But
I think it's just. Through so many movies, there are just moments that make me emotional for whether it's a crescendo in the music, whether it's you know the what's going on, like you had mentioned kind of with Frozen 2, what's going on in your life.
What is my head state? Because there might be a movie, so there could be a movie that this is my example of like. I used to joke, and it's still true, but it's like, oh, well, it might not be as true now. I was like, I'm just so intense that I can find meaning in, dude, where's my car?
Right.
Because I've seen it once, and when I watched it, I was like, this actually, I can actually find some, like, deep philosophical meaning in this. And, like, I guarantee you if I watched it now, I'd be like, that's
the
some
fuck
bullshit.
Was I talking about?
yeah. Dude,
I wasn't
God.
Even high.
yeah, exactly. I'm just pretentious.
yeah.
Well, no, but...
No, but I know what you're
like,
saying.
That's where your head is at.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because I have this... Oh, I'll try not to go too long on it. I'll try and do the condensed version.
Sure.
I've gotten a little bit better in the last few years of like being aware of like, no, come on, condense it down for normal people.
Yeah.
Because everything's important in your head.
Right.
It's like, I got to get all the details.
But I've had this theory, and it turns out Stephen King has it too. And that made, when I found that out a few months ago, I felt really special because it's like, I've been thinking this for 20 plus years. That like, I think. And a lot of the, my God, I'm sorry, everybody, if this all sounds pretentious. I'm saying this in the most, like, I am, like, painfully sincere about all of this.
Yeah.
And it's going to sound terribly pretentious. I can't help it. So I've always felt like stories are things that exist on their own in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why sometimes we get this feeling, you'll watch a movie or read a book or something and be like, why do I feel like that could have, the story had so much potential to be better?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think the wrong person grabbed it out of the ether.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Like, in the same way that, you know, was it Michelangelo or whoever made the statue David? Michelangelo. Sorry.
No,
I was thinking Michelangelo, the Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
But Michelangelo,
I'll
talked about like whoever did that,
yeah,
talked about like, oh, the sculpture is in the marble or rock, whatever, yeah, and I'm just sort of tapping away the things that aren't the sculpture. Like, yeah, as it, so this piece of art, this story, whatever, already exists out in the universe, and I'm grabbing hold of it and mm-hmm. sort of trying to figure out, like, sort of wrestle with this mm-hmm. story.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah. So, and I was reading a my one and only Stephen King book I've ever read. I know that's a surprise. But I'd always known him as like a horror novelist,
yeah,
before.
Sure. Yeah.
And until recently, I've sort of been like meh, like no thanks, yeah, about horror. But I think Korean horror has, like, yeah, Korean dramas have mm-hmm. gateway'd me
mm-hmm. yeah,
into
sure.
horror. Like, yeah. Anyway. But then I was reading about Stephen King and just like his journey, and he's, you know, that's part of his sort of thing is like, you know, stories are their own living
yeah.
thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have to kind of pull them out and discover them and
yeah.
whatever. And so I've always felt that way too. Mm-hmm. I forget why I brought that up about, oh, did it have something to do with Dude, Where's My
yeah,
Car?
Yeah.
My meaning? And
yeah, yeah. You were at a point in your life to where you could draw meaning from just about anything, or at least try
yeah,
to.
Just like
yeah,
being, or that's just where my head was at and
yeah.
was seeing, you know, maybe seeing since, because I am just in general so painfully sincere.
Sure.
Like I hate, like one of my few things in life that I can't stand is shit stirrers.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
people
same.
That cut,
yeah,
well, right, but that's because we're cut from the same
right,
cloth.
Right, oh, yeah, right.
Of course.
Some people don't have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's funny.
Yeah.
Namely
yeah,
shit stirrers.
Can't stand that. Yeah.
Think it's funny. And so like, and Brian's a little bit of one of those. He's like a recovering one or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
And so it can, sometimes I'm just like, you're saying that just to get a reaction that makes me a little, you know, like
right.
treat this person sincerely or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm painfully sincere.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a little much and
yeah.
you see meaning in Dude, Where's My Car?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So let's take a day off from thinking and just walk around the mall. So we're kind of deviating.
For those of you who don't know,
yeah.
the mall.
Listen.
They're destroying Jamestown Mall.
I know,
like,
I saw.
Like,
it's about time.
All of our listeners,
yeah,
all of our loyal listeners have their
should
own experiences at the
mall. At least
what
a mall is.
Of yeah. course, of course.
Know what a
nobody.
Mall is.
I don't think anybody.
Dude, where's my mall?
I don't think anybody younger than the age of 25 listens to this show.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I don't think that's necessary. You don't know. You don't know.
Don't
you
know
have
that.
Some people
it's
in
true. It's true.
Other countries, don't
yeah,
you?
It's true. It's yeah. true. And that's true. We are. We do try to stay pretty
yeah.
like in, you know, in America.
Yeah.
It's this blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where I'm just thinking of like
yeah.
the people who always let us know they're listening. I'm like, these
oh,
people are.
Oh yeah, those are the people that let you
30s.
Know. But like
yeah.
I've since
yeah.
shared it. I've shared it with a
oh,
at
yeah.
least one of my coworkers. Mm-hmm. Who's
okay.
20. She's like 22.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, but even if they know what a mall is, they may not have experienced the mall the
right.
way that we did
yeah.
is like, so like when I talk to my kids about it, they've
mm-hmm.
at least been to a mall.
Yeah.
And I actually, on my birth, that's crazy that you asked me this question because on
yeah.
my 40th birthday,
uh-huh.
that's what mom took me
yeah.
and the kids to one of the
mm-hmm.
few remaining malls.
Yeah.
yeah.
Jeez.
And it was
yeah.
one of the most surreal things because we went to, at the food court, I ate from. Oh, maybe I'll let you answer the question. Or
oh,
ask the
so,
question
so,
first.
Yeah. So we're at the mall. Malls were of huge cultural importance, especially
yeah.
in the 80s and the 90s.
You
but
didn't
malls,
go there to shop. Like, teenagers
no,
went there to just, like,
yeah, it was
hang.
The social
hang
hub.
Well, if
yeah.
you've seen Stranger Things,
yeah,
then
exactly.
you've
seen Stranger Things,
yeah.
yes.
yeah.
But just, I mean, shoot, they not only, they, there's a reason the Duffer Brothers have a focus, and there's this backdrop of a mall
mm-hmm.
inside Stranger Things. There's a reason the Kevin Smiths of the world made a movie
mall
that
rats.
Just
yeah.
took
mall
place in a mall.
Yeah, yeah. yeah mall
because
rats.
There was an importance to the mall. It was
yeah.
a social gathering.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Fast Times
yeah.
at Ridgemont High is so dependent on the mall.
Yeah.
I was rewatching, I think I texted you guys, because, so I own the DVD
mm-hmm.
of all the seasons of Daria,
yeah.
but we
yep.
talked about this, that they had, because of rights and stuff,
mm-hmm.
they had to switch it out with generic music. So
yeah,
Brian
yeah.
went and found some people that had like replaced all the original music
mm-hmm.
and it was an MTV show. So
yeah,
it had
yeah.
like all the best music.
Yeah.
So I was rewatching it with this from this project.
Changes mm-hmm. the whole show.
It does change a lot of things, especially yeah. when you're like, oh my God, that song. Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. that yeah. song holds a meaning for me. Yeah. It holds a meaning for the culture. Mm-hmm. And then put in that setting of mm-hmm. the scene,
yep.
it's got this meaning. This is all very yeah. different. But so many of those episodes take place at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
There's like whole episodes devoted to like, there's this one episode where they go to the Mall of America, like mm-hmm. or yeah. whatever they call it, had some kind of generic name.
Yeah.
That had like it just opened and they drove an hour away to go to this mall mm-hmm. and there was like a roller coaster in the mall. Yeah. It's supposed to be a knockoff of
the Mall of America,
right?
Yeah. Minnesota, yep.
Yeah, in Minnesota. So I don't think that's what it was called in the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or there's like this whole episode where Daria has to get a job mm-hmm. and she works at this nut kiosk.
Yeah.
Because kiosks used to be like semi-legit.
Yeah.
Not mm-hmm. like they are now.
There's guys with remote control airplanes now.
Yeah, no, yeah. it's like you buy
custom shirts,
snacks, and yeah. yeah. I mean, just like another store.
Yeah,
yeah.
But like everybody, like wandering through the whole episode takes place in the mall, and like several episodes that. In the mall. So yeah.
It's great.
It's crazy.
It's such a cultural touchstone. Yeah. But like again, like we said, especially in the 80s and 90s, like mm-hmm. malls. In how they were in the 80s and 90s started in like the 60s, but yeah. you know, it was the 80s and
90s. But the 80s and 90s yeah. were like the yeah. big, that's when that was at its, yeah.
oh,
its
yeah.
peak.
Yeah.
And you'll see it in all those movies too, mm-hmm. and all oh, those yeah. teens and rom-coms and mm-hmm. stuff, like so much of it is at the mall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you're at the mall, because usually for us, we had to go through a JCPenney. A lot of you out there going to the mall, sometimes you have to go through a JCPenney.
Yeah,
because
your mom needs to go to JCPenney yeah. or because it's the most convenient entrance yeah. or parking
yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
spot or whatever.
So if you had your way, where's the first place you are going at the mall?
I mean, pretend you hadn't already read my answer. You knew what that
answers?
That was going to be
yeah.
the answer, right?
I
like, were you at all surprised
no, yes.
by, at my answer?
Actually,
honestly,
I was.
Really? I thought you were going to say Sam Goody.
Oh,
shit.
Because that's not around anymore.
Right.
But
oh,
Hot Topic is, and so
yeah,
I didn't think of it.
Yeah.
Right.
I,
no,
but Hot
you're
Topic
right.
is still
but it would have been Sam Goody.
Yeah.
No,
so
but,
I didn't phrase that
I'm
question
I'm actually
well.
Going to change my answer
yes,
because
yes.
I didn't
yeah.
even think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would have been Sam Goody.
Yeah.
It so, definitely, yeah. and it was Sam Goody
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
when I went. It was always Sam Goody. I put Hot Topic on here because-
For something that's still around, like you now, where would you go?
I did, and I was going to say on my birthday, we had lunch in the food court because that was one of your questions of
yeah,
like
yeah,
where would you eat
mm-hmm.
and I had Panda Express with mom the
mm-hmm.
kids had Chick-fil-A and I could see the Hot Topic
yeah,
yeah.
and it made me feel very weird
yeah.
really
it did it was like very because my I think probably my whole life I have this weird it's probably not so weird probably
yeah.
lots of people do this sort of imagining game of like what would it imagining that like because I think we experience, this is not imagining, this is my belief.
Yeah. yeah.
We know that we as humans experience time linearly,
yeah.
like as a line, right?
Yeah.
But, and this isn't just my hoodoo theology, this is
yeah.
science too, that
yeah.
like, it's not actually linear,
mm-hmm.
that's just how we experience it.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, I have these thought experiments of like, almost like a movie scene of like sliding doors or something like
yeah.
here's teen me next
yeah.
to
like yes.
like what if you know like a split screen
yeah,
like
yeah,
teen me next to 40-year-old
yeah.
me
mm-hmm. yeah
standing in the food court eating
yeah.
Panda Express looking at the Hot Topic
yeah.
like
yeah.
it just had that weird
I do similar
feeling.
Things yeah
and I actually got a little choked up and tried really
yeah.
hard not to show my kids I was getting because
sure.
Ben of course Ben's super
yeah.
astute
oh yeah
he was like mom are you okay and I'm like no I'm fine
yeah
yeah
it's just weird
yeah
because this is where you know as a teenager I spent so much time
yeah
on the weekends with my best friend Rose
mm-hmm.
like
yeah.
that's what you did
yeah
like, you went there to hang out you didn't have money
no
yeah.
you didn't shop
that,
you
no.
went there to hang
that's
out
that's why it was so important too because
yeah.
like and this isn't an episode about malls but like
we could easily do
we
an episode about malls
one.
But like that's where you get some of your first whiffs of like independence
too,
oh, yeah.
because you get dropped off at the entrance
the
and you
passage.
And your friends just
right.
walk around the
yeah,
mall and you feel
it was the safe place to drop you off
yeah.
in a way which absolutely not I don't
no.
know what why. There's just so many ways we as parents delude ourselves about safety.
Of course.
But no, you. But to go back to CM, I can't believe I didn't think of that because that was always the first.
Yeah.
That was like the main place I wanted to go to. CM Goody, Hot Topic, and sometimes like Claire's.
Yeah. Walden's Books.
Walden's Books. If we're talking James. Oh my God.
Because the first one that always comes to mind, although, you know.
Books and music.
Yeah. Yes. And then the mall itself, the one we would frequent is Jamestown. Every now and then we'd trek all the way out to go to the Galleria.
Yeah.
I love the Warner Brothers store.
Yeah.
But also, I mean,
sometimes
we
trek out to Mid Rivers every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
Chesterfield, if we were getting a haircut.
Yeah. When the Mills first opened, even that was a treat to trek out to the Mills.
Yeah. It never quite ramped up the way I wanted it to.
But I didn't like how it was just, didn't like. It threw me off that it was just a circle because I was so used to the different levels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go up an escalator. You go up the escalator.
Yeah. So Jamestown was our mall. So you had Hot Topic. You had Sam Goody. You had one that Matt and I always, it wasn't a fulfilling experience in the mall without going to Turn 2, which was the card and comic book store.
Yeah.
Which every now
which
and then.
Which is my pick for that.
Oh, yeah. Every now and then. If the mood hit mom just right, we can pick out one pack of cards.
Right.
Or if you guys want something, it's either cards or a comic book. You can't get both.
So I told this story yesterday, and I'm not trying to curtail it anymore.
Fine.
But like, I remember it was shortly after you got your driver's license. Mm-hmm. We went to Jamestown. It's free comic book day.
Yeah.
And we've told this story before.
Yeah, because we were going to go see Spider-Man and it was delayed.
We went to Turn 2 and we got first issue of Ultimate Spider-Man for a free comic book day.
Yeah.
And so those memories correlate so much.
And you mentioned the food court. So, so Panda Express being your choice on your 40th.
Yeah, because we just had. So that's, you know, it's kind of hard. I was just trying to remember, like, what did I always look forward to eating? Because Panda Express and Chick-fil-A are so available now that I'm actually sick of both of them.
Yeah. Same.
Like, I've had Panda Express DoorDash to my house.
Right.
But when, back in those days, like, those only existed in the mall. And
in
fact, the Chick-fil-A at Jamestown eventually went away. So there was, like 10 years in which we didn't have a Chick-fil-A anywhere near us.
That's true. I only experienced Chick-fil-A at the mall.
At the mall.
Yeah.
And so, like, I would look forward to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd look forward to Panda Express. It would usually be between one of those two. I know Sbarro was really popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't remember ever being that into it.
I didn't get it until I was older.
I remember the McDonald's was on one end of the food court, but the play place was near the entrance where the food court met the rest of the mall.
Oh yeah.
I, however, if you remember, they had an A and W, and the way it was set up, it was kind of in a corner, and it had this car coming out of the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I always wanted the cheese fries from A&W, I would have picked.
Yeah,
I would
started
my love
now
of cheese fries.
I do really. I freaking love cheese fries.
Yeah,
Freddy's has really good cheese fries.
They have really good cheese fries. Yes.
Oh
God,
but
I love cheese fries.
I love cheese fries
because every now and then, like,
throw a little bacon on it.
Yeah,
mom,
throw a little bacon on it.
Matt and I didn't have a choice. Mom would get us Chick-fil-A, but every now and then, just the person at the register's like, huh?
Just a little bacon. Maybe.
Just
a little bacon. I can hear the piggies back there. I can smell it. Don't hold out on me. There will be trouble. I will make a scene.
I will make a scene.
But God, I'm so hot in here.
It is very warm in here.
But also what I think about with Chick-fil-A is, do you remember Adventures in Odyssey?
Like, I didn't listen to that, but I remember
I
was a little old.
As a part of the kids' meal, you'd get an Adventures in Odyssey book or tape. Mom would always get
us. They really have the worst kids' meals. Like, even to this day, they have the worst treats.
Like, I've had Happy Meals before, and this sucks. Happy Meals right over there.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
But every now and then, you or Andrew or would be able to go to A&W and get cheese fries.
Oh, I remember
as a kid, just like really, really wanting
those cheese fries. Dang, I'm so glad you reminded me of these, because those are my real answers that I couldn't think of. So Sam Goody, I forgot. Walden Books, cheese fries. Like those are actually my real answers. I just forgot about those.
Yeah, of course.
Things.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad I said something, because that is like that's my true self. Yeah. The Sam Goody and cheese fries.
That's what I really meant.
But on to a different topic, television. Yeah. I think we like to joke that we were raised by television.
Yes.
But we did grow up watching a lot of TV.
Yeah.
And in that, we would have our routines of what we would watch. This is kind of I personally, because like you have all heard, I kind of want to have answers at the ready. And this one was one of the tougher ones.
Yeah,
because
it really was.
I can't really, throughout our childhood and teen years, I can't really pinpoint what our schedule, quote unquote, TV watching schedule was. So from the best that you can remember, I think there's one thing we all can agree on that we all could remember that we would set aside time for. But what would you say would be that you can remember either as when you were a kid or a teenager? What was your TV watching schedule after school or on the weekend?
I mean, I assume I must have watched some. I mean, clearly not during school.
Well, yeah.
And I don't remember watching it before school.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, probably what anyone did after school, maybe some, or on the week. We didn't really have a lot of limitation, like our limitations I recall.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
So, like, I do know that it's so funny because now it's called event TV.
Right.
So, like, TV that you have to wait a week for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the people are like, oh, I can't. I the first day it comes out on. So one, I heard it the first time when we were watching The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it's called, right?
With
Pedro Pascal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I heard that called event TV. And I was like, oh, when I was a kid, we just called
it's
that
TV. Called
TV. Episodic television.
We just had to wait a week. And then you had to watch it at that time.
Yeah.
And you don't have to watch, you know, stuff that comes out on streaming, you don't have to watch it on that time.
Yeah.
But people look forward to like seeing it as soon as it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It's basically the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like every week was event TV. But two things I remember was these fun, you know, like these blocks of television that had like names.
Yeah.
So TGIF.
TGIF
on Friday. So like Full House was a part of that. Mm-hmm. Family Matters.
Step by step.
Yeah. Boy Meets World.
Yes. So those, but then for those of us that had cable, SNCC.
SNCC.
Was it called SNCC?
Saturday Night Nick.
Yep.
It's more like the more mature kind of Nickelodeon
stuff for teenagers.
For teenagers.
Preteens-ish.
Mm-hmm. Comparatively to Rugrats.
Are You Afraid of the Dark wasn't maybe for everybody in the Rugrats crowd, but I think all that. These
all
probably
that.
Weren't on at the same time.
Right.
Over the duration of SNCC, you had
SNCC,
all that.
Keenan
and Kel.
Secret World of Alex.
Secret World of Alex.
Kablam. Didn't Pete and Pete also?
Yeah, Pete and
Pete
were
in
SNCC.
So SNCC and TGIF.
Mm-hmm.
So those sort of blocks must-see TV,
you know,
they were sort of like, this is Saturday night until you become a teenager.
Yeah, and you go out and do stuff. Yeah.
I mean, except for me as a teenager.
Right.
Yeah, same.
I was probably 50-50
or whatever. SNCC really, the blocks you're talking about really sticks out on the weekends.
Yeah.
I would say more like on the weekdays, like when Matt and I, when we are 10, 11, 12, there would be the SpongeBobs and the Rocket Powers and the Rugrats.
I couldn't stand Rocket Power.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated
I couldn't
it.
Really either.
But you also had the Saturday Night Cartoon Network. We like with Dexter and Johnny Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
But
one
that really distinctly sticks out to me is I remember there was a point in time, so there always was a point in time to where in syndication, ABC, the channel 30 was the ABC affiliate in St. Louis, would show The Simpsons at 6:30, but also the WB affiliate, channel 11, would show Friends. Yeah. And it was usually a battle on, like, well, we want to watch The Simpsons, but Mom wants to watch Friends.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And that was like, every sort night. Of after dinner before the new primetime programming.
Like, And then I remember there was a small moment in time to where when you and Andrew were teenagers, when The Daily Show really got going.
Oh, my God.
The late
that was like an early 2000s thing. Yeah.
We would watch The Daily Show.
Monday through Thursday, because The Daily Show wasn't on Fridays.
And then Saturday. And then we would turn it to, it would be like
early days of John
Stewart. Oh yeah, yes. like an SNL rerun or an SNL from like still the Sherry O'Terry, Chris Kattan stuff.
Yes.
But it was like a week or two before.
Yeah.
And then Daily Show, and then flip to ABC to watch The Simpsons or watch Friends. So I remember
that
was
a nightly routine. I'm starting to remember these things now. Yes.
Yeah.
So where we would have that sort of okay, well, what do we watch between?
Yeah.
Getting, I don't know, schools, we sat down to eat dinner. We didn't eat dinner at a dinner table. We ate dinner, like, on the... Brian doesn't understand it. Like, he can't eat out of his lap.
Right.
Like, he just... He can't.
I get it. Yeah.
He can't. I was like, this is just how I grew up.
Yeah.
Like, we just sat on the couch. And
there would maybe be two or three...
Mom had to work. Dad wasn't home yet.
It would be Matt or I, maybe Andrew, Amanda, sitting at the table just because we were smaller, but everyone else was on our couches, like just eating with their plates and everything.
Yeah.
We didn't have TV tables at that time.
Yeah.
So another one that, since we just recently talked about Power Rangers, that I remember is Fox Kids.
Yeah.
Like we watched that Fox Kids block as well.
Nickelodeon
with Blue's Clues, if we want to go way back.
Yeah.
I love the OG with Steve. Mm-hmm. Did you see when Steve did that message during COVID? I cried so much.
Yeah.
I missed you, Steve.
Yeah, exactly.
I was in my 20s.
There was always rumors that he died. And I was like,
it's
didn't
die.
It's
all so ridiculous. He just didn't want to do Blue's Clues anymore.
It's so crazy.
He's
like,
a normal ass dude.
I work with a guy who has a daughter, and he says that she watches Blue's Clues. And I was like, I remember when Blue's Clues debuted.
I watched
like
first
episode of Blue's Clues.
Yeah.
I used to stay home with Tyler while Mom went to work. Because I was like 20, 21 at that point, and I wasn't wanting to go to college at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I stayed home with Tyler, and that's what we would watch Blue's Clues and Dora the Explorer every single day.
The Wiggles, too.
The Wiggles, yep. So when I went to Australia, it was like, oh.
Where are the Wiggles?
No, but I would see stuff for the Wiggles.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, shit, the Wiggles, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I...
Yeah, they're big over here.
they're big over where I'm from, too.
They're just bigger over there.
Yeah,
and the Aussies have made a comeback with Bluey.
Have
you guys... We've shown you some of that.
Yeah, Bluey's great. Bluey's
favorite
funny.
Show. My favorite show of all time now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the best TV shows ever created.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's like, very funny.
Like, I talk to other parents and I talk. There's blogs. There's like Bluey Theory blogs where parents discuss what's going on in the background of Bluey.
Mm-hmm.
Because like things like I didn't even notice like that their mom had a miscarriage.
Oh.
And they would talk about like here's where you see references to it. And it's, you know, and then the creator would validate it like, yes, actually, that's not just a theory. These people notice that. That's correct. I based it off of this or that or whatever. And it just keeps getting better and better. They every single one of our kids, our oldest is 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when the new episodes of Bluey got put on Disney Plus a couple weeks ago, like everyone came in the living room and was like, well, let's watch it.
Yeah.
Like we have Ben, like we all love it. And like parents love it as much, if not more.
Yeah.
Than, I mean, I've talked to so many parents. I've talked to people that like they're teenagers and they have younger siblings and they like love. I mean, like everybody loves Bluey because Bluey's like the best.
Bluey's great.
Bluey's great.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just
you're fine.
Diatribe of Bluey.
That's all right.
If you haven't seen it, you don't wait till you have kids in your life. Just go see it.
It's
just
funny.
It's just a good show.
Mm-hmm. It's just so good.
Yeah.
The writing is so good.
This question five is one of the harder ones to try and nail down because I up until like today I was having trouble thinking, like really what would be my answer to this? And that's through the years, what songs have stuck with you?
That one's
and
a little
that
more
it's
difficult.
Broad.
Yeah,
because it's also so broad because. In parentheses, I try to give a little bit of like nudging, like what are the meaning has changed for you over the years? What brings you the same joy it brought you when you when you listen to it. How does it elicit emotion? So me personally, I read all that stuff and I'm like, why did I post so much? Now I'm trying to answer all those questions what songs apply. But I mean, sometimes you just gotta like think and maybe just whittle it down to one of those things and be like, I'm answering that. Mm-hmm. So when I'm not gonna ask you which one of these prompts did
sometimes
you
sometimes it's an album.
Sometimes it's a whole album.
Well, and so up until, I don't know, what, 10 or 11 years ago, I was very, very into music. And so, like, but then especially in my 20s, that was my big music buying years. And so it's one of those things where it's weird that, like, there's, it's not that I don't listen to music now, but I haven't had the same visceral, you know, sort of attachment to really hardly any songs. Whereas, like, there are whole seasons of my life that have their own soundtracks. So, like, I think what I answered in the question is basically comes down to is, like, because, like, there's this between, like, I don't know, 20 and 25, I was around other people that also really liked music. And we would do things like get together and listen to music. And we just listen to music. And that's what we did. And we would share music and things like that. And so I think, you know, the years that I was at, especially those 5 years, and then that time at Joshua House, like where I met Brian and where I had that really close-knit group of friends, and then all that tragedy attached to it as well with, you know, our friend Ray with his protracted, you know, battle with cancer, and then, you know, all that, these, you know, we would have all these prayer meetings and get togethers and like, and just all this stuff, you know, praying for him. And he was a really a big, like, the heart of the group. And then just this long battle of like, okay, then he had to go back to Boston for treatment. And then while he was away at in Boston with his, that's where his family lived. He passed away, and most of us never saw him again. Like, we couldn't go to his funeral, anything like that. We just weren't able to. And so we never were able to, he left and we were never able to see him again and get that kind of closure. So we had, you know, losing that crucial person, and then another, you know, person in that group, a married couple, like him getting deported back to Mexico and like just some other things happening in those relationships, and just, you know, the heartbreak of like, how that became a really haunted place, because there was all these memories of like how close we all were, and there was no, like, nobody did anything wrong. But there were just, people started to drift away because there was just so much, you know, heartbreak. But so it was like this time that was a really poignant time for me. And it was a time where I met Brian, and that was a really like double-edged sword as well, because it was a really positive, obviously I'm married to him, and I've been married for 15 years. We've been together almost 17 years. Like, so clearly, like, that was a positive thing. But also, it kicked up a lot of, like, I basically simultaneously fell in love and had an emotional breakdown. Because of my anxiety, and, like, it's not, it's something that a lot of people go through when they fall in love. Like, all these issues getting kicked up, and it was, like, that's when I started going to therapy, like, really in depth. You know, because when I was in high school, I went to a therapist a few times and I got on medication and stuff like that. So, like, all that mixed with like the music that I listened to in that time, to the point where, like, so Brian wanted to listen to Guster again, because Mom and I are going next weekend, we're going to Columbia to see Guster, because probably rightfully so, they refused to come here because we're just we're a bit red. That's a lot, but that's a lot of bands. So Brian was wanting to listen to it because, like I said, like, I got him hooked on Guster. And so we were listening to it in the car. And I mean, I've been feeling particularly weird and vulnerable lately. So I was already feeling emotional, and he turns on a song from Ganging Up on the Sun. And I was like, nope, the kids are in the car, and I'm going to start weeping. Because I already am struggling right now with feeling just lots of feels about, you know, just, I'm just such a damn stereotype for midlife existential issues at the moment. But then, like, that, album, regardless of what time of life I listen to it in, mm-hmm. that album brings up some very, still to this day, super, it's almost like a time machine. Like I'm right back yeah. on the balcony of the apartment building, apartment I had to myself, mm-hmm. listening to this album and like praying. Oh my God, I'm yeah. really choked up.
And it's just, all right. Yeah.
praying that like Ray would be okay. Mm-hmm. And so, oh God. So, you know, so I was like, no, we can't play this on the way, you know, to yeah. summer camp or whatever. Cause mm-hmm. like then Ben will be worried. Cause yeah. he'll think something's wrong. And it's like, no, maybe yeah. you'll understand when you're older. Mm-hmm. In fact, when you guys teased the idea of one of the six questions being like, what would a younger,
oh yeah,
well, you know, subversion of yourself think about your life now, I was thinking of all these punchlines for yeah. what I would say to her, which is right. like, you'll understand when you're older. yeah. Or, it's not what it looks like.
exactly. It'll make sense later.
Yeah. Right.
Just go with it.
You yeah. had to go through. You had yeah. to be there.
Yes.
But anyway.
Release the tension.
Yeah. So.
It ends up okay.
I think what yeah. helped kind of taking that off the table is you're like, I really don't want to answer that.
Well, because which I was is understandable. Not, I was yeah. having a not great. So. To clarify,
yeah,
like I'm not, I don't mean like stereotypical midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna yeah, find yeah. a young dude or
from, no, yeah, no,
or whatever, but definitely like, you know, we've talked before about like just the way that we've come to change how we experience our faith, mm-hmm. and you know, for a long time. Oh my goodness.
We don't have to like.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, for a long time, I thought that I was called to be one way and mm-hmm. I fit into the world in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I believe that anymore.
Sure.
But that was like 30 years of my life.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like, you know, as if I was getting a divorce after 30 years of marriage.
Right. Yeah. But this has been my identity.
So this yeah. has been a huge this thing. Which, if you've listened to prior conversations, you can probably guess what thing we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, it's been my... And so, I am in a place of like, there's a lot of things I said no to because I thought this was my identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so just kind of dealing with, you know, closed... Like, a friend of mine who I was talking to, she was really wise in naming it as... Because I was shaming myself. I was mm-hmm. like... You're so ridiculous. Don't be so immature. Your life is so great, and yeah. you know better than this. And she's like, you know, this sounds to me like you're grieving.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you're grieving lost opportunities. It's mm-hmm. not that you want to have a different life or whatever.
Right.
It's like grieving not only lost opportunities, but I personally have on several occasions the last few years grieving opportunities I didn't know I'd had.
Mm-hmm.
I did things I didn't know were even options,
mm-hmm.
and now that I know they're options, it feels at least like it's too late.
Sure.
And so, you know, kind of dealing with feelings of like this isn't you know fair or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, and that's fine. It's a process. Grieving's a process,
yeah,
and it's okay to feel those things and kind of recognize that like you don't have to feel ashamed like. Mm-hmm. It's a loss, and I can still be very grateful for the life I have, mm-hmm. but also feel the loss, and then maybe I can let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so when you brought that question up, mm-hmm. like that's where I was.
Yeah.
And still am to some extent, though I've had a couple of people, you know, be encouraging and comforting in the process. And so it's an ongoing process. But anyway,
yeah.
but I had to come up with punchlines
right.
to,
yes.
to be like... You'll understand when you're older.
Yeah.
You have to be there.
Yeah. yeah.
I promise it's fine.
Fine, I swear.
Yeah. We try to joke because that's how we cope. Like
well,
that's
sure.
how like we cope is we, you know, you take something heavy like that
yeah.
and you kind of just don't want to directly mm-hmm. feel it outright.
Yeah. That,
or, you know, your knee-jerk reaction, you don't want to feel it. So you're like, how can I turn this into a joke?
Yeah.
How can I turn this into something light?
But also, so like... Here's the theater mm-hmm. nerd in me. But, like, the Greeks believed that, like, those two things go hand in hand. And mm-hmm. so while we did lose a lot of the documentation of, like, Aristotle's writings on comedy, we didn't have his writings on drama.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, a typical theater experience would be a trilogy of tragedy. followed by a Seder play. And that's where we get the word satire
from.
And so it's this idea of like purging. You know, there's like feeling these emotions and sort of processing it through the storytelling, which everything we do is storytelling anyway. We're telling stories now. So you process through the storytelling. And I was actually thinking about this with the last question about, you know, why there's certain genres, especially that I like a whole lot. And I don't think, you know, science fiction and fantasy, especially like when it's done really well, is honestly can be more healing than a drama or whatever, because most of us need some like distance. It's really hard for most of us to like, a lot of us can meet a lot of things head on, but there are some things that just like a lot of us cannot meet head on. And so you got to come at it from the side, which is, you know, what you're saying. Like, so it's, I don't think we joke that jokes are a defense mechanism, and sometimes they are, but also I think they are integral to processing. I think being able to joke is also integral to processing if you've gone through the, you know, the tragedies as well as the Seder plays.
No, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Of course. Of course.
Turns out I'm not such a dummy.
No. nobody.
I don't think anyone thinks. No, but you guys joke it sometimes about yourselves. You know, we make these cracks we're idiots, but clearly we're not.
No, I can honestly at the end of the day say I don't believe that. I'm not stupid.
No, but it's fun. It's funny.
It's funny because we do we'll say moronic things. We're playing characters and playing into a character when being morons, but
we're self-aware about
it's part, it's a reflection yourself, of intelligence, but it's sort of an exaggeration of an aspect of yourself.
Satire, if you will.
Comedy.
So,
okay, go ahead. Sorry.
The last question. No, you're fine. So the sixth question of the six mix is current, for current stuff. What is your favorite piece of media right now?
Oh, man, you guys... I bet you were not surprised. There's no way you were surprised at what I wrote because of
that.
So I've mentioned this before. It was hard for me to pick because for almost 2 years, it's been Korean dramas.
Right.
And it's been like, it still is. If I watch TV, it's a Korean drama.
Right.
So I just am not watching them as much as I was the first 6 or 7 months, because I was like going through some things and I was basically hibernating. So it's still Korean dramas, but in the last 6 months, more even than that has been web comics. Webtoons. So comics online. And they're specifically formatted for online, so read vertically and things like that. So I've been like reading those like crazy. And I had always, growing up, I'd always wanted to get into comic books.
Yeah.
I liked the idea of comic books. I just wasn't so much into necessarily like what I saw available to me. Like, and you guys know I liked superheroes. But like...
But for like girls, it's like Archie and Barney.
But
like
it was also like... I felt like a lot of the comic books had like 30 years of lore, and I found that overwhelming
as hell. That's still, no pun intended, an issue.
Yeah, it's so a lot overwhelming.
They're like, I want to get into it, but it's like, where do I even start?
Yeah, that's... And
especially
it's
like X-Men, there's like 70,000 different timelines.
Well, because it's worse. More now because of things like alternate timelines and reboots and, you know, all this stuff. And then, you know, the what's in the movies versus what's in this and that and whatever. But, you know, webcomics, that's like even the oldest ones, because... Oh, and it's insane the schedule that some of these people keep. No wonder they have to take frequent breaks and have like web, the webtoons platform, the one, the main one that there's like two main ones, but the one I read on is called Webtoons. It's a South Korean portal. And now, I mean, it's been around for 10 plus years. So our nine years, I think they just had their 9 year anniversary. I only know that because they having like a bunch of like, you get extra daily passes and things like that for 9 years. But, you know, they have, for as popular as it may be starting to get here, it's in South Korea, webtoons and web novels are like insanely prevalent. And that's how I became aware of all of that. And then I was in Target the week before like Christmas, and I was picking up some stuff, and I saw volumes of, they've started carrying like Japanese manga, and Webtoons has started publishing hard copies of like some of their most profitable and popular Webtoons.
Cool.
And so there's this one called Lore Olympus, and you know, all of us are like big myth people. And I love reimaginings of myths and stuff. And the artwork is just really beautiful. And so it caught my eye. And I was like, what is this? Because I had already started thinking like, well, maybe I want to, maybe I'll give manga a shot or whatever. Manga, well, that's a whole other topic about why manga is so difficult. It's not just for me. It's not just the that it's quote unquote backwards. There's like a visual tracking issue for me. So, but this was so beautiful. And I thought, oh, 10 bucks, 13 bucks, whatever. I'm going to grab, I had a, oh, I know what it was. At work, the parents had all worked together to donate money and bought Target gift cards for the staff. And so I had like a $90 Target gift card. It's a private school. And, and while a lot of us, a lot of the kids are there on financial aid, there's enough that are like, not there on financial aid. So it's a mixed bag. But it was enough to like, you know, and it's a really small school. So, you know. Anyway, so I was like, well, I'm going to get this. And I like went home and I like read it just like in a couple hours. And was like, went back to Target and got the other two volumes that were available. And then I was like, what's this Webtoon? When's the next volume coming out? Oh, is that coming out for another year? What the heck? And I was like, oh, I'll go to Webtoons. And I like downloaded the app. And I spent like all of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day reading every episode that was available of Lore Olympus. And then I was like, well, this is probably the only Webtoon I'll ever read because all this stuff. Because the thing about, it's like this with Korean dramas as well. You've got no way of knowing what you've got until you start. Because sometimes, you know, the translation of the title is wacky. And you're just like, I knew. Here's how I knew I'd watched like so many Korean dramas is without blinking, I was like, oh, Pung, the Chosun psychiatrist. I'm going to watch that one. I was like, it did not, I was not even fazed that it was called Pung, the Chosun psychiatrist.
Anyone else would have been like,
Poong. Well, oh, and then Poong. He was like an, it was like a historic, it's a historical one, and he's like a psychiatrist. And it's, you know, but it's, I had become so used to it. I've watched so many Korean dramas that sometimes I forget to turn the subtitles on, and for at least a full 30 seconds, I don't notice they aren't on. And I don't, 30 to 60 seconds, I don't understand what they're saying. But I'm so used to the sound of the language that I don't quite realize what's wrong. I was like, something's not right. I feel, because I'm like, I have an idea what's, I'm like, shit, I don't know what they're saying. I didn't turn this up. I better rewind and turn them on. But yeah, so like, but then, so then it was like, okay, really liked that one. And then I was like, maybe I'll just, I have this on here. I'll just see if there's anything else. And found this comedy one, I think, written by an English language author. It's about called Cursed Princess Club. And it's another one that they've ended up putting in print, but I had read it on Webtoons first. And so now I have like 100 Webtoons that I'm subscribed to. And I don't, some of them I've finished. Some of them I read sometimes. Some of them I let go for a few weeks so that I can read a few at a time. You know, anyway, I could, I won't talk about the whole system or whatever, but web comics.
Yeah, for sure.
Web comics and Korean dramas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend is still, is my favorite piece of media right now.
I need to go listen to that. I've always loved him.
I am so, he is such, and I, he is one of my especially in the last few years, I've just, I've stamped that Conan O'Brien is one of my,
it's just a comedy idol.
He's one of my influences because, you know, he was on he wrote for SNL on the 80s stuff. So, I mean, he wrote for like Lovitz and Phil Hartman and Jan Hooks and Dana Carvey. But I mean, I didn't really latch on to like the early 90s version of that cast. So it's just cool to know he had the, he has the acumen of writing on SNL, but also he wrote some of my,
He only wrote really just four Simpsons episodes, but there's some of
the best ones.
He was set with just writing for the Simpsons for as long as he could, and then he got the late night show.
Yeah.
And
there's just been no other hosts.
No, absolutely not.
There were just never
his connection with his audience, his willingness to play the fool, be the butt of the joke. But his remotes are some of the most classic and late night. His when he was on late night, late on NBC, and get away with a little more, he would do his little like If They Made It, and S&M Lincoln, the masturbating bear.
I remember the fact that he is a
triumph the insult coming out. Valedictorian from Harvard,
it
shows how genius
it's not a being comedic dumb isn't a is. Dummy yes. thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I told you he actually has a Korean drama connection.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So when he did, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, where he did went to these different countries and stuff, he actually got a bit part on a Korean drama, and I found it out accidentally because. I watched a drama and I liked her and I was, oh, what else has she been in? And I was looking through the other things she'd been in, and here underneath one of them was a trailer, and I was like, is that Conan O'Brien? I couldn't believe it. I was like, no shit, this isn't real. And so I watched the trailer, and then I like went onto YouTube and was like, what's the deal with this? And it was like, no, they created this. And there was even like you know, the Conan showed like the making of those scenes where, you know, they've got the phonetic spelling for him so that he can speak Korean. And just sort of like, even then, it was like, you know, it was always like he's the foppish.
Yeah.
You know, but then even more so, like, you know, doing bits where kind of, oh, I'm the foppish American goof, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm making these people uncomfortable, not just in Korea, but in other places too. And so, like, I mean, I was just, it just blew my mind.
And plus, on the podcast, depending on who he has on, he'll really dive into his mindset on comedy and the way he thinks, the way he elicits
you're like, hallelujah,
but
the same reaction that elicits like in church that elicits from me, I'm like,
he has so many ideas of how he sees comedy, how he wants to perform comedy to I'm like, okay, he's my biggest influence because that is exactly
that
how
is
I
my
look
approach.
At things.
That's,
like, so like we were saying earlier, how we joke that we're just two morons. Like, you just said Conan was valedictorian in his class at Harvard, but he prefers to play the fool. So like he has a quote. He has a quote.
This quote,
when smart and stupid come together, it's very difficult. But if you can make it happen, it's the most beautiful thing in the world.
It's so great.
I'm like, it is. Because that is the most. Like, you can reach the most people because it's the most, like, general you can get. You're not you're not being political. You're not being polarizing. You're being a moron.
Well, and I think that's the British sort of, you know, the British treat comedy with, like, almost religious reverence. And I think that's probably the same. It's like then sometimes – it's like you can feel the difference between when somebody knows what they're doing and when somebody's just copying. So, like – a silly example is how we're talking about Barbenheimer. And so this whole phenomenon with Barbie Oppenheimer, whatever, and that some Dumbo tried the same thing with two movies that also are different aesthetically and completely. But here's, it's like they didn't understand what was happening because the two movies they chose were Paw Patrol and Saw 5 or 6 or whatever. And it was like Saw Patrol, and it completely...
Of course. Yes.
Because, but see, that's because that person didn't understand.
You don't know why that's effective.
You don't
though.
Get why that's so
you
funny.
You see the thing on the surface.
You're like,
you're like,
oh, two opposite things. Two, a kid's thing and a grown-up's thing. Let's smash them together. And it's like, well, one, Barbie's PG-13. It is not a kid's movie. It's about existential crises. And kind of so is apparently Oppenheimer. If you know about Oppenheimer and... the polarizing figure.
I am become death.
You know, well, and just his sort of difficulty with his role in
I'm creating this weapon of mass destruction.
And it's a sort of like a sense of, from what I've read anyway, a sense of like sort of feeling victorious of doing something that others couldn't and yeah. succeeding in a goal that he'd been tasked with, but also then like
this is gonna kill
this kills
people.
Lots mm-hmm. of
yeah.
people
yeah.
and so it's you know
yeah
so yeah so there's definitely so they have that connection whereas Saw and Paw Patrol
yeah
all you've done
you literally
is
just
take...
want to say Saw Patrol
mm-hmm. right
like
and you can't encourage people like the same people that go to see Oppenheimer can conceivably go to see Barbie and mm-hmm. vice versa.
Sure.
The people that go to see Paw Patrol are not going to double feature it with Saw.
No.
Yeah.
Like, you can put... And so it's just a kind of a little example of, like, somebody knows what they're doing, and then here's somebody else that's, like, clearly no clue.
Yeah.
Just smushing things together yeah. because, mm-hmm. like, oh, ha, ha, ha.
This yeah. made me laugh. This surface thing.
Yeah.
Like... There's some. It's it,
it
has,
probably made you laugh for the wrong reasons,
right?
Because you don't understand
exactly.
It.
It has a sub, not necessarily a subtext, but there's like a depth to
yeah.
a bit or a joke, mm-hmm. and it's like, but you're laughing at like I always say, you did the thing, but you don't know why
like,
that
thing
was so effective.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and so you didn't actually do the thing.
Right.
Yeah. You did something you thought was the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But since you don't know what the thing really is, mm-hmm. then you,
yeah,
yeah. And so, like, oftentimes, you know, you it's so you can see so clearly when someone does something.
Oh yeah.
To copy off of this
it's,
thing.
Oh, it's
this,
oh,
this
it is
person
apparent.
Or that it's
at least I think it's apparent.
I think
yeah.
it's incredibly clear and it's very obnoxious.
Yeah.
Because it's like you clearly don't know why that's funny.
Right.
All you did was like you just said. I'm just repeating what you
no,
said.
No, I get it. Yeah,
know?
Yeah. You just were loud and profane, but you don't know why the people who may have been loud and profane, you didn't hear the buildup in a punchline
yeah.
to a joke
well, yeah.
as to why
I mean,
they didn't
the
hear
context,
context
that made that
mm-hmm.
loud profanity
yeah.
funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Like there was stuff around it that made
yeah.
it
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
yeah. But yes, it's comedy is a very delicate line that you
mm-hmm.
have to toe if you are to be good at it. I don't want to say be successful because there are people who are successful who aren't good at it.
Yeah.
People who are good who aren't successful.
Yeah.
yeah.
So it's a fine line between the two.
Right.
Just like we towed a fine line doing this episode between
yep.
laughing,
yeah.
between, you know, really wearing mm-hmm. our hearts on our sleeves.
Yeah.
And I make no apologies.
I can't wait
no.
to do this more.
Oh, yeah.
I think I really like this format.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't wait to see where it goes because it's all dependent on people's answers. Like
yeah.
we
yeah.
said, mine and Matt's answers, we gave them here, but... Again, unless the guest really wants to know what we said and didn't listen to this, we'll give our answers. But this is just about – we want to hear the differences between what the guests say and how
yeah.
we can jump in. And we can still give our experiences
yeah.
with things. But,
yeah.
you know –
like the last four, I didn't say anything about.
Mm. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for leaving me out to dry. No, I'm kidding. No, no, absolutely kidding.
As an example.
yeah.
yeah.
No, no, you're right. You're right. And that's how we want to do it, though, because we want to hear what the guests have to say and then just
mm-hmm.
add on or
yeah.
give our experience that maybe is indirect to what they're
yeah.
talking about. Either way, this was the first run of doing this, and
mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. Samantha, I hope you enjoyed
yeah.
doing it, too. Mm-hmm. This being your 10th time, I'm
whoop, whoop.
It's
yep.
it's always a day
so
off.
Lame.
It's a day off whenever we have you on.
There it is.
Yeah. yeah.
Ooh, let the dogs
yeah.
out.
exactly.
But it's always a day off whenever we
yeah,
can have you
for
on.
Sure.
Just because it's
nice.
Just it's we get a lot of content.
Right.
I mean, at least the time we're recording,
yeah.
we're almost an hour and 40 into the recording.
Yeah. yeah.
And it's always just a great having you on, and I
for
hope
me,
you
it's
enjoy
play
yourself.
Time.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's mm-hmm. fun. I get to have fun and not have to.
Yeah.
You know, worry about existential dread. So.
Absolutely.
yes.
But as soon as I'm out of this building, it's coming back, baby.
No,
yeah.
No. No.
But this, I'm glad we could provide this creative
yeah,
outlet.
Absolutely.
For you too. This ability to do this 10 times strong and, you know, more to come.
Yep.
More to come. But thank you for joining us. Always thank you for joining us, no matter
thank
what
you
we
for
talk
having
about.
Me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. uh-huh. Of course. Thank you all for listening. Until the next
yeah,
time.
Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. Because why would you want to be rude when you can be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.